Hello. Thank you.
Yes?
Speaker McCormick on 90.
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Hello, Mr. President.
Yeah.
I got a friend of yours here, Bowers here, Wayne Hayes. He wants to tell you an interesting story about the Ohio, the governor, right, on the Appalachian. I met a couple of Chamber of Commerce fellows from Arkansas with Jim Trimble. Boy, how enthused they were with your speech yesterday.
Well, that's good.
You were just in masterful shape.
Well, that's good.
And here's Wayne.
All right.
Now, and then I want to talk with you on another matter.
All right.
Wait a minute, Mr. President.
Mr. President?
Yes.
You know, the governor called a meeting yesterday at the Ohio University to declare Ohio out of the Appalachian program. And I went down, I flew through soupy weather to get there in a private plane, and I got there a little late, and they all made their pitch, his cabinet and everybody, and he said, is there anybody here for the program? And nobody said anything, so I got up, and he and I got in a public debate, which lasted about 45 minutes. And then they went into an executive session with just the top officials there, including me and the state senators and representatives from that area. And we had it out again for about 30 minutes, and they took a vote, and they voted 60-1 to go into the program.
Did he vote to go into it?
Yeah, he's leading the parade. Now, I turned him upside down.
That's wonderful. That's a good job. That's a good job. Well, he's calling me. I haven't talked to him.
Yeah,
but,
well, I just wanted you to know what happened to him because he said, oh, we'll be tagged with this. And I said, listen, we're tagged with it now, and the president wants to do something about it. He said, yeah, but this is 6 months before election. He said, how do I know what he's going to be doing? He said, they'll saddle us with this program and walk out. I said, now, look, Governor, you don't know the president. I said, he'll be just as enthusiastic about this after election as he is now. And I said, it isn't going to stop in 2 years because we can't do the job in 2 years. And then I said, he'll be interested in the election, if you're putting it on a political basis, in 1968.
Mm.
And I said, if you think he isn't going to be running for re-election in 1968, just reach for your wallet because I'll make you a little wager. And he didn't reach.
Mm. Well, he's calling me now. I guess that's what he wants to do is get in it.
Well, I just thought you'd be interested to know what happened briefly.
Well, you did a good job. How do we stand in Ohio?
Well, we're not in good shape there. I think that's fair to point out to you.
Can Nixon beat us there?
Well, can he?
Yeah.
I think it'd be close, but of course we got Young is very unpopular out there, and he's going to hurt the ticket some. But I think if we got the right chairman, but you're going to have your boys intervene in that. You can't win with the organization you got now. And if they just take it. If Carter sells me down the river on that like he did when they had that thing back there in April about picking those delegates, well, you can kiss Ohio goodbye. Mm. I'm gonna talk to Carter about it, but I'll tell you right now that this fellow, Bill Coleman, is a nice, sweet guy, but he's got about as much ability to organize a political campaign as little Gita, my 9-year-old daughter, had.
Mm. Okay, Wayne, I'm glad to hear from you, partner.
Okay, Mr. President.
Bye.
Yes, Mr. Fletcher.
Yeah.
I'm talking with you alone now. Wayne in the other office. I'm going outside. You know that thing we discussed this morning?
Yeah.
You see, under the 20-day rule, they got us behind the eight ball. Now, here's what could be done. I don't want you to say a word. You let me go ahead. They could have, the contraries could meet. They could agree. Then the Senate take the papers and let the goddamn thing lie there. And the House can't do a thing. You see, the 20-day rule then is done. In other words, if they meet the conferees, if they agree on a conference, because anybody in the House can rise as a matter of high privilege and call it up now and make a motion to concur or to instruct the conferees and so forth and so on, and there's not a thing you can do about it. It's right before the House. Right? So the conferees meet. they agree, and then the Senate takes the papers, and it can just lay over there. And the House can't do a thing the 20 days.
Well, talk to Mike about it. I don't want to get involved in it. Talk to him. I don't think he'd do that. I don't know whether he'd go that far. Magnuson's telling everybody, the damn fool, that he's ready and he wants to meet and he wants to shove it down. And, of course, they all run when something involving me. If it involved them, they wouldn't do it, but... they don't care, and they wouldn't have gotten in this shape. They got in a hell of a shape, and it doesn't do anything but help the Republicans. And I guess that I expect too much of them sometimes. I'll just go on and just take it in my own hide. And
we're not in the position where there's not a damn thing under the rules you can do, and the 20 days has gone by, and nothing to stop them from calling it up. You can't offer any amendments because they could make a motion to concur in the Senate amendments or to instruct the conferees. And there's only a few minor differences, you know, as the time, one of the things about a certain number of days and so forth. Whereas this could be worked out at the...
Well, talk to Mike about it.
Instead of bothering you, let me talk to Mike.
That's what you all got to handle some little something up there for me, and
well,
just
you all
get that, and don't let me in on it.
Well, you just
talk to Magnuson.
Well, I'm working on it for.
I know it. You talk to Magnuson and talk to Mike yourself, and then let me stay out of it.
Sure,
any way you can work it out.
Sure. Well, that's why I'm just talking to you. And listen, and of course, when I sit there and talk about the hard facts of life up here, I hope you don't misunderstand.
No, I don't. I don't at all.
You know,
all I want to do is I want to make those boys...
I don't like
that. Here's what we've got to do. We just talk every Tuesday morning about what we can't do. Now, what we did some time ago, what I think we've got to do is we ought to hire some people and put in that whip's office or hire them up there somewhere that can get a count. God damn it, I've been trying to get this count now for 3 or 4 weeks on about 3 or 4 bills, and we don't know any more every Tuesday than we did the Tuesday before. What we really need... is somebody that can. I used to check these votes. I had 100 senators, and they're more independent than a House member. And I knew before the McCarthy vote, every vote in that body was going to be in his chair without a quorum call against McCarthy, every Democrat. And I know that they brought this pay bill up when it oughtn't have been brought up until they had the votes. And they brought it up, and now they've got everybody saying, well, there's no chance. And they get no encouragement, so everybody wants to say, well, there's no hope. We might as well quit and get it now. Well, I didn't say this morning. But you know, the most important guy in this government is the fellow that runs the GSA. He has all of our public buildings. He operates the whole thing. He does all the purchasing of all the minerals. He's the most political job we've got, and the most important, more important than a cabinet officer. He came in and told me he's quitting. Said, I just can't live. I said, what are you going to do? I'm going to get $50,000 a year from the National Home Builders. And that's just what that, bringing it up and defeating it and then not offering them any hope, that's what that did to me. And I've got to give them a little hope. So if I can get it out of the two committees, that gives them a little hope. Then if I have to, I don't want to call these people. Hale gave me a list this morning. I think I ought to wait till the night before a vote and then call a few of them.
Right thing before.
I handled it just exactly the way it ought to be.
Right thing before.
But somebody up there, God damn it, we have to get Bobby Baker back. Somebody ought to go to him and see what it is and then come in and say, boys, you just haven't got but 191. Now, Larry thinks that he's not a part of the machinery, and he's not a part of the House. He's an outsider. But he told me this morning that he's convinced we can get the votes for the pay bill.
Well, he's got, no outsider so far as I'm concerned.
No, but I mean he's not an official of the Whip's organization, and the Whip's no better than anybody else. And that's what he has to rely on is the Whips, whoever Texas tells him, what Jack Brooks tells him, and what the others. But he thinks he's got 218, and he thinks we can get 10 or 12 more, and then we'll lose 10 or 12. But he thinks that we can do it if we'll just all say, okay, this has got to move, and let's go. Because
we're going to have a meeting tomorrow afternoon at 2:30.
I sent for Bill Daugherty, and I'm going to get him in here. And he came back. I made him ambassador to Jamaica, and he's resigned. And I said, now, let's get some of these Republicans. I talked to Dave McDonald, the steel workers. I talked to retail clerks. I talked to everybody that might have a few liberal Republicans. But if they have a president, if they elect the president, they're going to have to be able to pay him more than $20,000 a year, because they're just not going to get a budget director for that. Here's a man handles $100 billion, every damn dime of it, and he just, here's a Council of Economic Advisors, here's a GSA administrator, here's the Undersecretary of the Treasury, here's the Commissioner of Internal Revenue, every damn one of them, and it's just key men. And they're asking me to try to run a government without a damn thing to keep them. I just can't get them to come in here charitable. I can get a bunch of rich men that'll come down here and do it and look after their own nest. But Kennedy really put together a hell of a good crowd. And I've just got dozens of them that just like sheep. Charlie Murphy over at Agriculture says he's not going to stay. And Wilbur Cohen, the top man over at HEB, Health Education, that damn thing would fold up if that man walks out of it. He's the key man in it. But we still right where we were 3 weeks ago on the pay bills. So I think that if we could just tell them to report the damn thing out, and let's say, yes, sir, we got the votes, I think it might be you and Carl ought to sit down, Charlie Halleck, and say, now, if you just got to fight us on everything, okay, but what can you do on the pay bill now? Let's see. He won't do anything, huh?
Last time I talked with him,
I talked to him at the ball game, and he talked like he didn't say he'd do anything, didn't commit, but he didn't.
Same thing he said to me, and that's what he said to me the last time I talked to him last week. And he said he's looking into it. A word to that effect.
I just say, Charlie, if you don't make it a political issue, and you let 10 or 12 of your boys walk off and let us pass it, goddamn it, we'll get you the money. Now, he's in trouble out in Indiana. And I told the fellas out there, I said, well, now, I wouldn't mess around talking about Charlie Halleck. They were talking to me out there the other day, wanting me to take a little crack at him. I said, now, Charlie Halleck, we got some rules in this thing, and we don't fight each other personally. And they say he got a popcorn merchant. And he's
a
fellow.
Tell him that tomorrow?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I told him I wouldn't do it. And they said they got a popcorn man out there that's popping popcorn, giving to the children, and said he's just running Charlie crazy. Said he came in 5,000 votes of beating him last time, and they're going to get him this time. And I said, well, they're not going to do any good to have a damn popcorn fellow up there. We've had one fellow with a front porch. And Charlie Halleck is a pretty responsible leader, and he worked with me on anything. I have to have him. But anyway, you can tell him that off the record.
All right.
Well, just tell him that we don't want him to make a party issue out of poverty, poor people, and pay bill. That's all. Just he can vote against it, and all of them vote against it. But just don't be too hard on him, because we won't be hard on him. We give him some consideration on some things that he needs, and he's already raised enough hell about this foreign aid, and he's defeated Farm Bill. He fought it like hell, and we don't want to have any caucuses. Tell him that if you do, though, it's going to cost them, because we're pretty popular in the country, Mr. Speaker.
Oh, you need to tell me that you're very popular.
And I just think we'll beat a bunch of Republicans if they just keep on being obstructionists.
I agree with you.
And I'm going to just start telling the press conferences twice a week, and I see them, and damn, they come in here, and I'm going on television. Just going to say they're against everything. They're against poverty. They're against medical care. They're against... against the pay bill, against everything.
I said this morning that when I added to the Republican leadership, I didn't say Republican, but Republican leaders ought to support this humane bill, the Appalachian.
That's right. Okay, goodbye.
All right.